Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is the most famous chapter in the book of Hebrews, is the Hall of Faith. Last week we talked about the three great figures before the flood. Abel, that the Lord called righteous. We talked about, of course, Noah and his thing, and Enoch, who was translated. And in Enoch, you know, they made a statement that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, we're not talking about faith in our own desires, right? What we want, but faith in the Lord. And faith means trust in the Lord no matter what happens. I mean, that's the statement you had in Job, right? Job says, you know, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. In other words, I don't know what the Lord's doing here, but I'm going to continue to lean on, you know, my trust on the Lord no matter what happens. Now, we pick it up here, chapter 11, verse 8, which talks about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he received an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder is maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is upon by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The author spends more time talking about Abraham than anyone else in the list. As a matter of fact, we're not finished with Abraham. We're going to talk about this offering of Isaac next week. But the author spends a long time, because Abraham was the center focus of God's plan when he develops it through Israel and down through Judah and down through David and then finally to Christ. Abraham, by the way, is mentioned 10 times in the book of Hebrews, third only to the book of Luke, which he's mentioned 15 times, in the book of John 11 times. Now, I want you to notice how acceptable Abraham's faith was. First of all, he's told by God to a land he did not know where he's going. Now, a lot of times, we don't know where we're going, but that's not the same thing. God is leading him, says, I'm going to take you to a land. He said, where? Well, I'm not telling you. Oh, what am I going to do there? I'm not telling you that either. Just, I want you to go. So God is leading him. Abraham doesn't know where it is or what's going to happen when he said, all he knows is God said to go. Secondly, he was led by God and says, God told him, keep going, I'll tell you when to stop. Okay? So he goes to Haran, he spends some time there till his father dies. He says, okay, now go to the land I'm going to show you. Thirdly, he dwelt in the land as a stranger. So, okay, I'm here. Okay. Dwell here. I'll tell you later what's going on. Then he was told by God that he would be given this entire land, But when he died, he only had a burial place for Sarah. He bought a field and burial place for 400 shekels. That's all he owned of the land. He wasn't master of the land. It wasn't like he came and let up, here comes the master. Abraham was just a stranger. He was just an immigrant. He was also told by God that he would be a father of a great nation, which is a fantastic thing since he had no children. Okay, I'm going to be a father of a great nation. And when you think about it, you know, he was 75 when he arrived in land and got to be 80 and 85 and 90, and no children. He's beginning to wonder, say, well, of course, you got the Hagar thing. So, he's, matter of fact, not only was he told that he was going to be a father of a great nation, but he's going to change his name from Abram, which means father of people, to Abraham, the father of many people. You know, God, I don't know if you noticed, but time's kind of moving on here and everything else. And he was told also by God that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now, we're talking about a man in a land where he's a stranger and he has no children, and that has to be kind of, you know, puzzling. Okay, how's this going to work out? So in other words, God is really stretching his faith because he doesn't see it. And by the way, that's the whole point, is you either walk by faith or walk by sight. And Abraham's not seeing this. But since God said it, he says, okay, I'm going to trust it. But I'm not seeing this at this time. In reality, Abraham would not personally experience the fulfillment of any of the promises. He wouldn't own the land when he died. There wouldn't be a great nation there that come from him. He didn't quite figure out how all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. None of that was still. You know, we could look back and see how all this came about, because it's been fulfilled behind us, but it hadn't been fulfilled in Abraham's day. Matter of fact, how much scripture was written in Abraham's day? Yeah, there's nothing. It wasn't until later on that Moses starts penning the books, and he comes a good 500 years after Abraham. And by the way, when he's in the land, he didn't even own a house. He lived in tents his entire life, you know. And let me just give you a side. Now, you guys who do tent camping know all about this stuff. Tents don't have very good insulation. Have you noticed that? We had a little Chinook, which was a camper built on a Toyota Tacoma bed or Tacoma truck, and little thing. But it had a cranked up roof. And around the cranked up roof was canvas. And as soon as you crank that up when you're doing fall camping, all of a sudden you just feel the cold air rushing in. It doesn't matter how much the heat's on, it just disappears. So he lived in a tent his entire life. He didn't have a house in the suburbs, you know, didn't have any, you know. He lived in a tent. Supposed to be given this entire land. He wasn't the master of the land. He was just one passing through. He did not see a child born to his wife till he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. It's kind of tough at that point. I remember when Lou's first wife passed away, and he's going to get married to Edna, second wife. And I decided to skip the premarital counseling, especially the part about raising children. And, you know, because it was kind of beyond that. Well, Abraham's just starting. And Sarah's going to start raising a child at age 90. Sort of makes us old guys tremble, and my wife as well. My wife is at that age where she can say to the her kids, "I told you." You know, what goes around comes around. As they complain about the raising their children, stuff like that, she says, yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, okay. Now, no matter what Abraham saw, he trusted that God would honor his word. See, faith goes beyond sight, and it goes beyond experience. So Abraham's looking around. I'm living in a tent. My wife does not have a child. I'm in a foreign land, but if God said it, you know, there was an old saying back in the 60s, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me, you know, the old saying. Now, if I remember Billy Graham preaching up there, he says, I believe that every part of this Bible, every word, I'd even believe it if it said that Jonah swallowed the fish. And so, that trust, that God's telling us what's true. And so, faith has nothing to do with wishful thinking. Oh, if I just ask God this over and over again, and you know, really believe in everything else, God will do it. Well, that's not faith. That's wishful thinking. See, it's not claiming things that God hasn't given you. It's claiming God, and he'll give you what he wants you to have. So Abraham trusted the word of God. He trusted that when God says, we're going to move you into a land, that land is going to be yours, that where I tell you to settle, you're going to settle, that I'm going to give you this land, that you're going to have descendants, so many descendants, it'd be like trying to number the stars in the sky or the grains of sand at the seashore. You're going to have that. Abraham was not feeling it, but he was believing that God was going to come true. Now, Abraham's faith survived several things. It survived him not owning the land. It survived him not having a child. Matter of fact, I like this phrase here. His body was as good as what? As good as dead. By the way, that's not a compliment. In other words, I'm just sort of well over this. Although it wasn't quite dead because he later on marries Keturah and they have a bunch of kids. But that's another story. Keturah was probably over 100 years younger than he was. You talk about marrying a younger woman, you know. So that's what he did. And he was not a great nation. And he's sitting in his tent wondering. Till you come up to Genesis 18 where the three heavenly visitors tells him by this year at this time, Sarah will embrace a child. Well, that's a problem in this passage here because it talks about Sarah's beliefs, but if you take a look at Genesis 18, it didn't sound like she was too much into this belief thing because she laughed. And what does the word Isaac mean? It means laughing. Imagine naming your child laughing. Of course, that's probably better than Ichabod, which means his glory is departed. But the reference to Sarah is kind of difficult because she didn't have the same faith as Abraham. Matter of fact, the passage literally says that she provided seed, which is not possible, is deposited in her. But the meaning seems to be that Sarah cooperated in this faith that Abraham had, and it produced Isaac, and she was a recipient, if you will, of the promise. She submitted to Abraham's faith and leadership. Matter of fact, that becomes legendary over in 1 Peter chapter 3, where she even called Abraham Lord, which was a tremendous testimony since he tried to give her away twice, once to Abimelech and once to Pharaoh. And so she submitted to Abraham's leadership, and eventually she also yielded in faith as well. See, Abraham looked forward and not backward. It says here in the scriptures that he could have gone back. It says that the land was still back there. He had a choice. He could have said, like many Christians quite often do, saying, you know, this isn't working. You know, I've been faithful and faithful and faithful. I've not seen any results and everything. That's it. I'm thrown in the towel. And he could have said, forget it. You know, you told me I'm going to have a land. I don't see any land I'm having. You told me I'm going to be a great nation. I don't even have any children. You told me that in all the earth, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. I don't see that happening. So he could have gone back to Ur. But it says here, and this is tremendous, he says, but he was looking for a city not made with hands, a foundation. He's looking for something greater, something beyond what he could see, something beyond what he could own here on this earth. He was looking beyond that, and they transfer this over to Isaac, and they transfer this over to Jacob as well, that they were looking something greater than what they could have here on this earth. And so he was looking for a city not made by hands. Augustine picks up this concept in his book, The City of God. And so a city not made by hands. Abraham was not troubled that he was not a master of the promised land. By the way, the land of promise, literally in the Greek here, this is the only place in the Bible that that term is used. So, well, I thought promised land was through the Bible. Said, no, the only place that literally is written down, promised land, is in this passage right here. And so there's called several different other things, Canaan, Israel, stuff like that. The only place in the Bible that the word, the actual phrase promised land is written is right here in this passage before you. And so eventually all that God promised came true, but Abraham didn't see it. There wouldn't be a great nation come out of Egypt for another 400 years. Isaac didn't see it. Jacob did not see it. It's only till after 400 years that you have millions of people, probably 2 to 3 million, being led by Moses out of Egypt, marching towards Canaan. It wasn't until after Moses was gone that Joshua goes into the land and leads the conquest of the land. Now, Abraham didn't see that him, in him, or through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. See, Abraham did not know, because he was not told, that from Abraham would come Isaac. From Isaac would come Jacob. From Jacob would come Judah. From Judah would come David. From the line of David would come Christ. And in Christ, all the families of the earth will be blessed. By the way, I think of that when you have the anti-Semitism you see today. That Abraham was told, I'll bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And so Abraham didn't see any of that. But according to this passage, he didn't have to. If God said it, he knew that it was going to come true. So Abraham is depending that God's word is going to be fulfilled. So eventually, all that Abraham did because he trusted. And by the way, this is an important thing that you have to understand about faith. We're a link in a chain, right? Not everything that God has promised to us and through us, everything's fulfilled during our time. We're a link. We have received faith from all those who came before us. It came down to us. And it's our responsibility to pass it on. It's our responsibility to live that faith, everything. The promises that we receive are in the future. And we have to trust us living by faith, it's going to have an eternal impact. But it's not all about us. We're a link, we're part of it. What did Paul call it in 1 Corinthians 12? He called us a body, right? All of us are part of a body, just like a body has eyes and hands and ears and feet and so on like that. We're all in this as part of God's plan. And so these things are being passed on. And so Abraham was part of a plan. He was a link. He was, matter of fact, the most mentioned in the New Testament of the patriarchs. He was the foundation. And matter of fact, the generations of Israelites and Jews, the generations of Ishmaelites, they all looked to Abraham as their father. And they're descended from him. So due to Abraham's unwavering faith, he's highly honored. Even though he didn't see any of the fulfillment. It's so important to understand that we don't have to see the results. We just have to stay true. And sometimes, you know, Jeremiah, he complained about that. I don't see any results. Jeremiah, you don't have to. You just preach the word. You just give the invitation. You just live the life. You let God concern himself about the results. And so Abraham's unwavering faith made it so that he allowed himself to become a great link in God's chain, his plan, that the results came on later. And he stayed strong to the very end. Now let me tell you another promise that we have. God says in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 28:20, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you unto the end of the age. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're called to do, no matter how, he's not going to leave you. This purpose and this reasoning, that's faith. I believe that. I continue to be faithful. I continue to move forward. And no matter what hits you in life, no matter what difficulties you're facing, he said, I'm there. I have a purpose, I have a reason. Stay faithful, right? Move forward. Because I'm with you. If you stay true to the very end, then he'll draw you ever closer to himself. And your name will be glorified in and through him, through you, that you might be able to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Life can be rather discouraging. It can be challenging. Sometimes I wake up and said, Lord, I'm still here. That was a Doug Hoy's testimony, you know, as he was in hospice. He'd wake up every morning in hospice and said, Lord, I'm still here. Because he wanted to wake up in heaven. But we have to move forward and be faithful to the very end, because the fact that he is faithful to us. And even though we get discouraged, he gives more grace. Annie Flint, Johnson Flint, beautiful young lady, got rheumatoid arthritis at age 60, crippled up, and she wrote these words. He giveth more grace, where the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Abraham that he trusted you. He's drawn close to you. He refused to give up, even though he didn't see any of these promises. He knew that you were faithful and that your word will always come true. And we thank you, Lord, that in all that you say and all that you do, everything is true. And you included us. You included us. We are part of that plan and part of the promises given to us that you're ever faithful. Lord, may we be found unwavering and moving in your grace and mercy. And Lord, if there's anyone hearing online or here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, may this be the day of salvation. And we thank you, Lord, you give us grace. And you, through infinite mercy, you give and you give and you give again. Thank you. Through Jesus Christ, amen.